Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Just hanging in there today. It's going to be long, long week today.
It's going to be a long week today.
Did you say a long week today?
That is for sure. Absolutely no question about it. And, Charles, it's already been a long week for Titans fans so far. 5-2 now after losing to the Bengals on Sunday. And, quite frankly, the defense has just been atrocious so far this year. We were debating in the last segment whether or not the Titans at 5-2 are true Super Bowl contenders. If I were to ask you that, are the Titans a true threat for the Super Bowl in the AFC, what would your response be?
I think if you want to tier it out in terms of how the AFC looks, you know, I think they're probably a second tier contender right now. You know, I think anybody who's sort of stacked up the AFC right now, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, you know, and Kansas City are really those three teams that I think have the ability to dominate at least one side of the ball. But here's the thing that fans should be excited about. Like, you know, Pittsburgh looks very complete right now. Let's see if the health holds. I still think the Devin Bush injury is something that over the length of the season, you know, could end up being a little bit more of a weak spot. They're getting good, you know, backup play there right now. But Baltimore, I mean, Lamar Jackson has looked fallible this season. You know, things are not, he's turning the ball over. They're not tearing the cap, you know, the top off of defense, throwing the football the way they were last year. So I think, you know, Baltimore still got some tweaking to do. You know, in Kansas City, they're 7-1, but Kansas City hasn't exactly been, you know, dominant all season long. You know, they've had games where clearly there have been competitive games, a little bit closer for Kansas City, and some, they look better now, but I still think there's a lot to be sorted out here. We got a whole other half of the season, and you know, Tennessee obviously making a move there at the deadline to start to shore up that secondary helps. I'm curious to see how, you know, Desmond King fits in. I had a chance to talk to somebody with the Chargers, and you know, I sort of said, like, what went wrong here with this guy? And he just told me that they felt like, particularly this season, he wasn't playing hard every single play. They weren't sure he wanted to be there. And apparently, from what I was told, like the opinion on him started to sour last season. There was a play where Hunter Renfrow ran a slant, and King came up and couldn't get his hands on him. Renfrow went the distance. It was like 50, 60-yard touchdown. And there were just guys in the organization who were like, you know, look, the long speed's going to be a problem. Like he's got to be perfect in every other area. And this is going to be a guy that at least at that point, they thought was going to want a big contract extension. He told me like, hey, there were people who wanted to deal him last year. And so it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. Obviously has versatility in the secondary, has some special teams versatility. So it's a good cheap piece, which frankly is what everybody's looking for at the deadline right now, you know, particularly the buyers that are out there. But I still, you know, I don't want to be a broken record here, but until Tennessee can figure out how to rush the passer consistently and finish, I'm not talking about just pressures, I'm talking about finishing pressures, you're going to have problems and you're going to run into teams in the postseason. I mean, there's no way you can beat Kansas City with the defense functioning like this. I mean, you'll get smoked against Kansas City at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. So 6 hours left. Is there anyone out there, Charles, on the pass rushing front? And we've talked about throwing out. Actually, we talked about Melvin Ingram, another right. Charger yesterday. But yeah, it's slim pickings. I mean, anything that comes to mind that actually could be swung by John Robinson here to turn around? Because I agree with you. I mean, if they're not affecting the quarterback and putting the quarterback down, I don't care who you have back there.
Yeah, I mean, Ingram is a big one. I mean, I think that the Chargers right now are in a little bit of a state of flux. I think, you know, Ingram is a guy that clearly teams are making a call on. But again, this all comes down to, you know, really what's cheap. And again, I still think the attractive piece out there to be had, you know, is still, you know, Stephon Gilmore. And I, you know, I know that's not a pass rusher, but again, I think there are other ways to affect your pass rush when you can get individual guys who can single up. The problem with Stephon Gilmore is he's not cheap. You know, he's the Patriots want a first round pick for him. I think Gilmore would like to get a contract extension in place. So I think if he were to be dealt, you know, he doesn't want to go in and play out this season and then have one more year left on his deal. I think he would like to get the extension done now. Teams aren't looking to dole out money next year. But yeah, I mean, I think Ingram is the guy that you hit on that I think if there's going to be an edge rush availability out there, he's going to be a guy that you could probably get. He's not going to be super cheap. You know, I still think you're talking about a solid middle round pick for him, like at least a third, maybe a third in a player, maybe a third in a conditional. So like it's, I think the problem is, you know, for the Titans, you have pieces there that you invested in and you're going to have to figure out how to make those work. And I don't know how you do that at this point. I don't know how you make guys, you know, who have not shown up, suddenly click into place the remainder of the season. And again, these are also, we're talking about a couple of guys there and everybody knows who we're talking about that have been mercurial when it's come to the stat production in their past stops anyway. You know, they weren't major, you know, big consistent sack guys anyway, finishers. So, it's not a great place, honestly, to be for Tennessee. And I actually think, I don't think there's going to be the flurry of trades toward the deadline that maybe some people think. I had a chance to talk to an AFC team that is big into buying, and the GM just told me, he's like, look, man, I'm calling all over the place. And he's like, I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's, you know, teams trying to figure out like salary role situations and next year what. He's just like, it's slow. Like, it's slow. People are not banging down your door to sell guys, and they're looking. Like, they are looking to buy pieces for a playoff run, and it's just been a drag for them.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Charles, if you had to identify the best team in the NFC right now, who would you say? All of them, when you talk about the Packers and the Seahawks and the Bucks, the Saints, they've all got some warts. Who would be right. The best team right now in the NFC if you had to nail it down to one?
It's Seattle because there's reinforcements coming. You know, Carlos Dunlap's the guy you just deal with, you deal for. You know, David Snacks Harrison's the guy who's coming into the fold. You haven't had Jamal Adams. He's been banged up. So to me, there's three starting caliber players. I mean, depending, what are you going to get out of Dunlap? Like, let's see. Let's see if Dunlap's, was he not motivated in Cincinnati? Maybe there's no tread there left. You know, they have to really figure that out. I think they're pretty optimistic that he's going to come in and be motivated. Once he gets there, you know, Snacks Harrison, same situation. I mean, you know, what are you really going to get out of him? And you won't know until he's in the building. They feel good about Adams. You know, he's got to be healthy. But interestingly enough, I also think Seattle's a team that quietly, I think, it's poked around the cornerback market still, kind of seeing if there's maybe a corner out there they might be able to add. You know, they've got some youth there and clearly some vulnerabilities at the cornerback spot. So that's a team that quietly I think you could add. But I think if you're stacking up the NFC, to me, that's it. And, you know, Tampa Bay obviously is rounding things out. I think the fact that they're starting to show some signs running the football a little more consistently probably helps Tampa Bay. Green Bay, you know, I mean, Green Bay, to me, they need to add a defensive piece, but obviously you hear a lot of talk about them making calls on wide receivers, maybe looking to add a guy on the cheap, whether that's, you know, Golden Tate, whether that's Will Fuller from Houston. But like you said, I mean, there's warts from all the top teams, and I think to me it's just Seattle's got that element to stack some pieces that are already sort of in-house there that they've already dealt with and, you know, are also veteran guys. One thing I didn't want to bring up, I forgot. I did forget to bring that up, and I'm in Houston here. Mike Vrabel, call Romeo Crennel and say, hey, what can we do for J.J. Watt? You know, like, can we get here's the problem with J.J. Watt. The Houston Texans aren't going to give him up cheaply. If Watt really wanted to go, and he, you know, he was like, hey, I want to go play for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. The problem is they have an inexperienced guy in Jack Easterby who I think, honestly, I don't know that he knows what he's doing when it comes to, you know, dealing guys at the deadline because Bill O'Brien isn't there. But I'm just telling you, like, if Raves really wants a guy and someone he's familiar with, I don't know that Watt would protest leaving Houston at this point. You know, like, he might be like, all right, you know, give me a shot to go somewhere and produce something, and things haven't gone as well here, and I don't know that I want to start all over with a rebuild, you know, defensively. So maybe that's that one guy where there's some familiarity there, but I don't know. Watt loved playing with Jadeveon Clowney. So I don't, there's a whole other element of that. But if you're really talking about a relationship making a deal come together, maybe that's the one that you throw out there. I just don't think the Texans are going to be very overpriced with a lot of their players. I think that's part of the problem with Will Fuller. You know, it's another guy that everybody's calling about, but I think the Texans are just asking for too much.
Right. Well, what about Merciless? Is another guy too who maybe?
Yeah,
could...
Whitney, yeah. I mean, I think Whitney's still got, you know, something there. Absolutely. I think he's another guy. I think what the problem with the Texans is once O'Brien went out the door and Easterby kind of took the controls there. A number of teams hit me up to sort of ask, because they know I live in Houston. They're like, well, what happened there? Why did that happen? And what's going on with this Jack Easterby guy? He's got no background as like a talent evaluator. He's got no background like really dealing with like, you know, trade talks and cap and all this stuff. And now all of a sudden it's like he's the GM. He's a de facto GM. And I'm like shrugging. I'm like, I have no clue what they're doing with this guy. And the problematic part of it was, when this all went down, particularly over the last week, teams are like, I think they want to take a poke at a number of the Texans wide receivers, not just Will Fuller, but there are a couple of different guys that I think teams would like to make a call on. I think the defense, there are a couple of different guys. But literally the first negative thing I heard back in this process was they're overpriced. Like they don't even really know what they want for guys, and it's clear that they want somebody to throw out, you know, hey, here's a first-round pick offer for Watt, or here's a, you know, a second-round pick offer for Fuller. And teams aren't – they're like, nah, we're not doing that. Like, come on, for a rental, you know, for particularly like in a Fuller case. So that – I think that hurts the Titans a little bit. I think if Bill O'Brien was there right now and they were taking this thing apart, I think that would be a lot easier for that call and maybe a trade to happen.
Oh, I'm sure. Fifth rounder and take Watt and Merciless, guys. That's a good deal for me, right? I'm Bill O'Brien.
Hey, and I don't think, you know, at the end there, I don't think things are great between Bill and JJ. So, you know,
yeah.
I think JJ's feeling better about Houston now that, you know, Romeo's running the team. But, boy, if Bill was still there, man, I mean,
by yourself.
He dealt Hopkins. So
that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Charles, great stuff as always, man. We really appreciate you taking some time to join us today.
Absolutely. Enjoy the day, guys. And as always, be safe. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, brother.
You too, buddy.
You as well. Interesting stuff there from Charles Robinson regarding the NFL trade deadline. We'll react to that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rexroad, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.